Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the ride in the park of free speech. Ride around in the park, and it's free speech, but it is a stick shift, and you're holding the mic in your stick shift hand. That's the way it goes sometimes. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Friendly operators will be standing by. Okay, so this is the Thursday show. Again, it's winds up being a boomer vision because ain't nobody got time for that. I had a very brief message exchange with Mark Dankoff just a few minutes ago, and he had sent me an article. Well, actually, he sent me a, I guess it's a Telegram. What did you tweet on Telegrams? It's some Telegram tweet that was linked to an article in one of the British dailies, I think it was The Guardian, which was referencing information that I've been talking about for the past week or so, that Hamas is back in northern Gaza, back, assuming that it had ever left in the first place, which is an open question. So Israel went in and bombed the place into the Stone Age and declared victory. Well, and then left and went south and whatever, but Hamas is back and they're patrolling the streets. And so Israel's great at causing destruction, but they said that their goal was to eradicate Hamas. Well, didn't happen. And Israel, you already have a massive anti-Netanyahu sentiment. There had originally been rallying around the flag, and he produced some sort of war cabinet that involved some opposition politicians. But now you're getting politicians calling for his resignation. You're getting relatives of the captives who were taken on October 7th that are busting into the parliament building and protesting, which I think that makes them insurrectionists, and so maybe Merrick Garland's going to sick the FBI on them. I don't know. And I just, in jest, this is kind of a meme, but messaged Mark and said, and nobody could have predicted this. And he writes back, you did. And I write back to him, you did too. So, yeah. And now they're going to bring their road show up to Lebanon. It's not going well. So, all right, there are a few things I want to get to today. And I'm just going to start off. Andrew Anglin had an article a few days ago where he said that, what prompted the article, there's some slightly black guy from Britain who has converted to Islam. His name's Andrew Tate, and he gives out dating advice and runs a pornography operation, and Tucker Carlson likes him. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I guess he's a big enough deal. And Andrew Anglin had an article that said he notices a Jew. And in the process of talking about it, so he noticed a Star of David. Did he notice a Star of David necklace on a porn actress in some porn? I don't know what it was, but he noticed it. And that prompted Andrew Anglin to write about, and maybe reference an article he had written a day or so earlier, about how the you know, really the litmus test of what he called, you know, right-wing people, but I would just say kind of a litmus test about anybody who is honestly trying to tell the truth, is whether they name the Jew, whether they, and it, that doesn't have to mean you say that that all Jews are responsible for everything or whatever, but you do have to say, you do have to acknowledge that that there's Jewish power, that Jews have very outsized influence in what goes on, and that that influence is to a very large extent used in a very negative way. It's wielded in a way that is very detrimental to everybody, really. That is kind of a litmus test. And, you know, Anglin said right-wing people, but it doesn't have to be right-wing people. You look at Chris Hedges, and Chris Hedges is in the news a lot the past few months because he was a former New York Times... He's a goy, by the way. In fact, I think he is, like, an ordained minister or something, but he was a New York Times war correspondent in the Middle East during... I think he's in his late 60s now, but so during the... a lot of events, including, I think he was over there during the Iraq War and probably the Gulf War, but he's been over there a lot. And he's very critical of Israel, as he should be. But so you get these people, even like in this case on the left. In fact, on the left, if you want to find people who have a long history of being critical of Israel, you'll find a lot of them on the left. But he still has kind of this Chomskyite view of Israel as doing what they do because of American imperialism or whatever, not because of anything Jewish, right? So they're doing white supremacy. They are doing white supremacy at the Palestinians. And so he, you know, Hedges, on the one hand, people who don't name the Jew can still provide very good information. I'm not saying you have to ignore them. You can get good information from them. And I get a lot of information from Alexander Mercuris. I got a lot of information from Stephen F. Cohen back in the day, who honestly, from time to time, kind of mentioned the Jew. He mentioned them. Did he name... I mean, would it cross the line of naming the Jew? He mentioned the Jew more than noticing, maybe less than naming. He mentioned, for instance, in talking about the 1920s, the politics of the Soviet Union in the 1920s, what did he say? I think he said there were three factions in the Politburo. There was the Slavic faction, the Caucasian, you know, meaning Georgian, and Armenian faction, and the Jewish faction. And, it was a Jewish faction that was pushing the craziest and most detrimental policies. And Cohen clearly favored the Slavic faction. In fact, he became friends with Nikolai Bukharin's widow. Nikolai Bukharin was a youngish Bolshevik who had a very young wife, and so his widow lived well into, you know, the late 20th century. So you can get a lot of good information from people, even if they don't quote unquote name the Jew. But analysis, this is the thing, the analysis is always going to come up short. It's never going to be on the money if you're not taking into consideration Jewish power. Now, there might be some people who don't actually name the Jew, but they're really, really aware of it, and they might be able to have pretty good analysis. But it's never going to be 100% clear. Even if they can make predictions, there's always going to be something unclear about it. Because the role of Jews and Jewish power and organized and especially unorganized Jewry, you just can't ignore it. And analyses don't make sense without it. So somebody like Anglin, somebody like myself, somebody like Mark Dankoff, David Duke, honestly, I mean, why do we get things right so much? Why is our analysis right so much? Is it because we're that smart? Or is it because simply we are considering the major factor? If you're trying to figure out the trajectory of a projectile, or you know the rate at which something's going to fall, or a whole bunch of other things, if you're ignoring gravity, you know, and you're just going to try to say it's something else, like it's wind or whatever, you're not going to get good answers. So, all right. That was the first thing I wanted to go off about. What's next? You know, I was talking to Jeremy on the In Plain Sight show. And so there's a lot to Jewish power. And one of the things is that it's, as you all know, I don't think there's one central conspiracy. I think it's very decentralized. And it's not even necessarily that there's some grandmaster plan. There may be a grandmaster flash, but there's no grandmaster plan. But in effect, the way it works out is what I think you can fairly regard as the Jewish agenda is effectively dished out, not just to one party, not just to one group, but it's all over the, it's both Republicans and Democrats, both the right and the left, at least the what we might call the kosher right and the kosher left, push different elements of it. The thing is, if you look over the past several decades, the Jewish parts of the Democratic agenda and the Jewish parts of the Republican agenda have won out. So people on RBN, people on the so-called right, complain that they never win, right? That the Democrats are always getting their way. So, well, what have the Democrats gotten? Or what has the so-called left gotten? Well, they've gotten a whole lot of gayness. They got really gay with us. A super gay. And that's a Jewish agenda. They got very, very anti-white. That is a Jewish agenda. When I say it's a Jewish agenda, you can identify these things. I mean, for instance, with the gayness, Vice President Joe Biden famously went in, I guess right after the Obergefell decision, whatever it's called, where the Supreme Court introduced gay marriage all over the country. And, you know, up until that, I guess now there's like the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act, more like it. Let's call it what it is. And who said that? Who am I quoting? Brother Nathaniel. We got to get him on. I got to get back in touch with him. He was all keen to come on the show, and then we had a technical issue. But anyway, Biden went before this Jewish group and said, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have this. It's all thanks to you. And they were like, shh, don't say it so loud. That's, you're not supposed to say that part out loud. But, you know, he was talking about, especially the media. It was really very largely a media-driven thing. I always said John Stewart was probably more responsible for it than anyone else, which is probably just because I was watching The Daily Show back in the aughts and the early teens. I was watching his show, and I thought he was very successful, very effective in pushing that. That's a Jewish agenda. The anti-whiteness, I mean, you can go and see papers published over the decades saying that, saying that basically whites are Nazis waiting to happen. That if we can no longer have a white country, if we can make it so that a racially based or ethnically based nationalism can no longer muster a majority and take control of the country, then Jews will be safe. This is something that's been written about. And even recently, Brett Stevens from the New York Times, he was on a panel, or he was being interviewed in front of an audience, and he made very similar type of statement that Jewish interests are served best in a multi-ethnic society, a liberal multi-ethnic society. Immigration now is seen as being left-wing and democratic, but it wasn't. So, for instance, the 1965 Immigration Act. Well, in 1965, the main opponents of it in Congress were the Dixiecrats, and in 1965, most states that had been part of the Confederacy had not sent a Republican to Congress since the Reconstruction, at least not sent a Republican to the Senate. But I think for the most part, Congress, the South was solidly it was a solid South, and it was solidly Democrat, the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party had, it wasn't just like a little fringe element, it was massively, the Dixiecrats, Southern Democrats, who were very conservative, by the way, on many, many issues, they were huge. They were, to a large extent, in control of the Democratic Party, at least in control of the congressional delegation. If you look at committee chairmen, if you look at speakers of the House, Albert, what was the guy's name? Carl Albert, for instance. Where was he from? Was he from Alabama? These people were from the South. Why? Because the South were one-party states. These people had no opposition, except in primaries, and so they had seniority, and their seniority gave them chairmanships of congressional committees. As long as the Democrats had a majority, the chairman of congressional committees were almost all Southerners. It was a meme. I mean, if you watch old movies, well, I can't guarantee this because I don't really remember the movie very well. But Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart from Indiana County, Punxsutawney. He's a friend of Punxsutawney Phil's, by the way. I guess he was friends with Punxsutawney Phil's great 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 grandfather. But listen, when old movies portray congressional hearings, the chairman always has a Southern accent.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
But listen, when old movies portray congressional hearings, the chairman always has a southern accent. Okay. Even I remember working for Jesse Jackson in 1988, and Jesse Jackson was very, very liberal, but he wasn't for massive immigration because he was dependent on a lot of labor support, and so labor was opposed to mass immigration. The Chamber of Commerce, which was in the Republican camp, They favored immigration, and the labor unions did not. But it did become in our days, in recent years, it's been a Democrat. And these are Jewish agendas. But what else has been Jewish agendas? And Jewish agendas has been this hawkish foreign policy, especially, say, since the 1980s. Certainly since the Gulf War, 1991, the Gulf War, certainly since then, the very hawkish neocon foreign policy was a Republican thing. Now that's turned around with Trump. Trump chased the neocons to an extent. I mean, did he chase them out of the Republican Party, or did they flee voluntarily? I guess they fleed because they didn't like him. But, you know, he did. He invited in John Bolton. He invited in Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley might not have been known as a neocon when he invited her in. She was just a governor who didn't do foreign policy. She did a lot of, she was a slut, but she didn't do foreign policy. So a lot of what might be called, say, a Jewish financial agenda was dished out to the Republican Party. So both the Republicans and the Democrats were charged with effectively. I'm not saying there was a grand master plan, but the way it worked out is, I guess, what you'd call a Jewish agenda. The Jews did gain substantial influence in the Democratic Party first. That's true. And I think Republican Party, which still had kind of like a country club aspect to it, that you were probably more likely to find back when anti-Semitism, or at least noticing Jews, was still socially acceptable, which is probably certainly, you know, through the first half of the century, and I guess kind of latent into the 60s. You had people like, not just Richard Nixon, but probably even more so Spiro Agnew. You had Jew noticing, and it was probably more on the Republican side, but it's been gone for decades. And I think certainly, I think in the by the 1980s, if not the Reagan administration, certainly the first Bush administration was doing all sorts of, you know, they were very neocon. They certainly were. And so what Jeremy and I were talking about, and what Jeremy was really raising, was right now you've got regular people, like the type of people that would be sitting at the next table at the Cracker Barrel in whatever the town was we had breakfast in last month. Jeremy and I had breakfast together last month, about a month ago. I think it was, what, the day, was it New Year's Eve morning? It might have been New Year's Eve morning, so it was about a month ago. And we had, you know, probably the people in the Cracker Barrel around us were pretty hostile to mass immigration and pretty aware of this, but on the other hand, are probably saying, why the hell are we letting those Iranians get away with all this stuff? They're shooting at our troops. We can't allow them to do that. And then meanwhile, you've got I don't like the term woke, but I'll use it anyway. You know, the woke kids, the woke people who are protesting in pretty big numbers and very, very hostile to Israel now. It's a new thing, but it's there now. And for the most part, they would probably be fine with mass immigration, replacement level immigration, and anti-whiteness. They're fine with it now. It's not going to turn out well for them either. It's not going to turn out well for anybody. And so, and these right now are the two biggest issues, the two most existential issues, is the danger of World War III, of the war. And then that's, which could happen, I mean, that could kill us all very quickly. Or the more slow, painful death of just being replaced and bred out of existence. Kind of, you know, people talk about South Africa. Now, South Africa, in its...
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
5. Your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Out of existence, kind of, you know, people talk about South Africa. Now, South Africa, in its modern statehood, the whites were already a very, very small minority. I mean, if you want to go back to the early days of Dutch settlement in South Africa, which was very sparsely populated, where the Dutch were coming into, they were coming into contact with Bushmen. They weren't really coming into contact with Negroes so much. But South Africa is also a big country. South Africa is about the size of the Confederacy minus Texas. And so it's a big area. And so you could say, well, you know, somebody lands in New Orleans and they don't see any Indians, but maybe they're Indians in the Carolinas. They wouldn't see them because they're far away. And so people, like, where the Dutch were landing, maybe they weren't seeing Bantu people. They might have been seeing Bushmen, but not Bantus. But that doesn't mean there weren't Bantus up in the Durban area. You know, maybe if the Dutch were landing in Cape Town, you know, that doesn't mean there weren't Bantus in the Durban area, which is far away. But still... when the Dutch were landing, there weren't a whole lot of what we would call Negroes around. There were some very, very... The Bushmen are... they are very divergent. They're very different from Negroes. And they're hunter-gatherers, and they're very sparsely populated. When you look at the coloreds... What the South Africans called coloreds, the Cape coloreds, Cape Town, Cape coloreds, the Cape coloreds, people would think, oh, they're a mix of white and Negro. No, actually, there's probably some Negro admixture in there, but primarily it's white and Bushman. It's not white and Negro. It's more white and Bushman than white and Negro. Bushman also called Hottentot. These are very completely different races. Anywho. Jeremy and I were talking about this, and it would be great if you could get a political movement that was both anti-war and anti-immigration. Unfortunately, while you've got a lot of feeling against the war and a lot of feeling, a lot of sentiment, a lot of energy against the immigration, it's mostly two different groups of people. And so this is the hazard. I was never one who said, oh, there's no, you know, Trump's never coming back. I think Trump's coming back. But whether or not is that a good thing or not, who knows? I don't think anybody knows if it's a good thing or not. I think Trump's instincts are relatively anti-war, but the problem is his base has been, I think with his base, there's a combination of knee-jerk patriotism, even though they'll be patriotic to the state, even though the state is their main enemy. But they haven't been able to distinguish between the nation, the people, and the state. And this is why everybody needs to learn Chinese, okay? Because in Chinese, you have, my tones aren't good, but Guo Min and Guo Jia. Okay? Guo Min is the people. Guo Min is the country people. And Guo Jia is the country house. It's the house for the country, which is the state. And so they can distinguish between this, right? So the Nationalist Party is...
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods?
Okay, sorry. I'm having serious battery issues. Keep running out of batteries. But the thing is that our people are, white people are relatively conservative, relatively traditional white people, confuse the interests of the state with the interests of the people. It's just completely confused, especially people who have been in the military. One problem with people who have been in the military is they don't want to come to grips with the fact that they weren't really on the... They weren't on the good guy's side. They weren't on the white hat side. Sorry. I know I hear about people saying white hats this, white hats that. No, we've been... If you're alive, you're probably on the wrong side of whatever war you were involved in. But I'm not going to get into that. And then me... So the positive is that we've got tons of people who are... against the immigration and against, they're against the anti-whiteness. They're and getting ready to talk about it. And also, you've got tons of people who are against infinity wars for Israel. There is a certain amount of overlap, but really, that's the problem. Is the where you have the overlap is scant. We don't have enough overlap. Donald Trump possibly could be the overlap, and he could possibly come back to power. Well, to the extent that he was able to wield power, he could come back to the White House. That's how I usually say it. He could come back to the White House. I don't know how much progress he'd be able to make on immigration and anti-whiteness. He may actually have better luck not... like, at least reigning in the wars. He may have better luck doing that. We'll just have to see. There were very few people 7 years ago when he came to the White House the first time. Very few people on the, you know, Democrat-liberal side who were willing to give him a chance. There were some. I remember Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live. He did. Dennis Kucinich, who I believe is going to run for Congress again. Dennis Kucinich had been mayor of Cleveland, in the late 70s? As Dennis the Menace. He was named Dennis the Menace because he was very young looking, and he was very young. Maybe it was 32 or so, and maybe it was the early 80s. He was mayor of Cleveland for a while, and then he was a House of Representatives member for a while. He ran for president in 2004 and 2008 as a Democrat. Didn't get a whole lot of votes, but because the people who supported him, he had a really legitimate anti-war platform, and he was able to, and wasn't dependent on money. He was more dependent on message, which meant he could stay in longer than other people. But people at the end of the day got mad at him because, he stayed in until the convention, but then he'd go say, oh, vote for John Kerry or vote for Obama. So people got mad at him. He was until last October, for several months last year, he was RFK Jr.'s campaign manager. But now I guess he's decided he's going to run for Congress again. And I know I've talked about him. He's got the very, very beautiful wife who's much, much younger and much taller. Really, much younger and much taller. And I've met them. I went over to their table and having dinner and just introduced myself and sat down for a while. It was kind of funny. So we do these things sometimes. He was very much left-wing progressive, and he's got a lot of like left-wing he was for a long time anti-abortion because he's Catholic, and then before he ran for president, he switched over. So obviously he doesn't have his heart in the pro-choice thing, and I never I don't even like the issue, so I don't want any part of it one way or another. But, probably on gun control and some other things, he would have traditional progressive positions. But in terms of, the thing is, the reason I was bringing up is he was one of the few people who said, well, look, we don't like Donald Trump for A, B, and C reason, but maybe we can work with him on getting out of these wars. Whereas, to my astonishment, Ralph Nader just went Trump derangement syndrome, which astounded me because he had written a novel. When did he publish it? I've got it, autographed copy of it. It's called Only the Super Rich Can Save Us. It was a novel about Bill Gates and Yoko Ono and a bunch of rich people getting together and saying, hey, we're just going to solve all the world's problems, even without the government. I didn't read it. But and then here you got this super rich guy, Donald Trump, and he's not willing to cooperate with him on issues. And, the thing is, when he was an independent running for president, he would talk about, say, the Libertarians, the Greens, Reform Party, Constitution Party, and say, look, we have issues that overlap. So that always astonished me, and I pretty much ceased listening to him. I've heard a couple of podcasts he's been on since then. But anyway, so the thing is, you've got, well, one thing is Trump has always been, in terms of being anti-war. All right, sorry for the interruption. That was Paul Stevenson, and it looks like we're going to record his show tomorrow. Maybe if he's got time, we can do a double, and we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so Trump's anti-war message, it's a weird one. It's kind of a belligerent anti-war message. But like I've said many times, he talks in a very unclear way so that, he can talk what I consider an anti-war message and to typical Republicans, it sounds like one of these BS peace through strength messages. Like, we're going to scare and bomb everybody in order to have peace. That's what we do. So, I was going to call myself sophisticated. If you're sophisticated enough, maybe you understand that at least he has instincts to want to get out of Afghanistan, want to get out of Syria, things like that. It just wasn't all that effective, but people say, well, he didn't start any new wars. Well, he didn't start any new wars, and you can't say that for the Biden unit. So, and the people who are out demonstrating in the streets now probably all have Trump derangement syndrome. So it gets stuck. How do you get people together on things? Like for me, I'm more than happy to work with people who I don't like and don't agree with on a variety of issues. If we have overlap on one issue, then let's work together on that issue. It's called partial coalitions. That's what Prime Minister Yasuhiro Nakasone described back in the day as partial coalitions. But is that something we can do? I don't know. Well, anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe some of this I'll be talking to Paul Stevenson about tomorrow. We're just going to finish off the show with some headlines and whatnot. So, flames and angry protests rage outside EU Parliament, which is in Brussels. So, thousands of farmers descend on Brussels, where they burned manure and pelted the legislature with eggs. Yeah, eggs are for eating. Manure, yeah, actually, yeah, you can burn some manure. You can do that. So a crowd of furious farmers picketed the EU Parliament building in Brussels on Thursday. Well, here's the thing. When you get down to it, the reason we're not able to come to have these partial coalitions is because nobody is willing to raise the issue of Jewish domination of our societies. This is why. Because, I mean, think about it. I'm thinking of these farmers. I mean, these farmers are mad about whatever, probably anti-agriculture, global warming measures, and even though I think there's climate change, the unfortunately, I mean, to my massive dismay, as somebody who's been, I've bought my first solar cells in, I think, 1974, 50 years ago. Okay, so I've been into this stuff. And I read Ranger Rick magazine. I read the Ranger Rick magazine from a few years before that on, solar power, wind power, geothermal power. Did they have wind? Actually, I don't think they had wind, but they had solar and geothermal in that issue. And that's what really turned me on to, these types of energy sources. But at any rate, it's been to my massive dismay to see the environmental movement just completely hijacked by a different agenda. So I'm leaving that behind. But because the woke people in the streets protesting Israel won't say that they're Jewish supremacists. They won't say that this is the American support for Israel is because of Jewish ethno-nationalism, ethnocentrism. They won't say that. So they're going to say that Israel's doing white supremacy at brown Palestinians, that the American military-industrial complex is using Israel as a proxy state. They'll say that, okay, which obfuscates and distorts everything. And then, of course, the people mad at immigration won't say that this is a Jewish agenda to destroy any chance of a ethnic white-based majority challenging the Jewish power in the United States. But so they're importing replacement population. No, they won't say that. They'll say the Democratic Party is importing voters because it wants power, which is so retarded. And that was Tucker's line. And he told people that for 6 years. They want power. It's all about power forever for the Democratic Party. And remember, earlier in the show, who was against immigration? It was the Democrats. Who was against immigration? what happened after 1965? Who won the elections? It was Republicans who were winning election after election after election for decades. They had a permanent lock on power. It has nothing to – nobody cares about the parties. The parties switch all the time.
Who's that I see walking in these woods?
Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Oh, I mean bad. Bad.
They had a permanent lock on power. It has nothing to... Nobody cares about the parties. The parties switch all the time. What was I saying earlier in this show? That the Republican Party became, at least the foreign policy of the Republican Party became hijacked by Jewish neocons in the 1980s. And now, since the rise of Trump, we've seen them move over to the Republican Party. It doesn't matter. The parties don't matter. Parties in the United States are not strong institutions. Other countries, they can be very strong institutions, but not in the United States. In the United States, they're simply vehicles for selecting candidates. They have primaries. They're just vehicles for candidates. The candidates, once they're in office, are not beholden to the parties. They're not. And, you know, so you see this all over the place. Was Lindsey Graham, was the Republican Party during the 4 years of Trump, were they at all beholden to the president? No, the parties are weak in the United States. So nobody cares about this. And so if the anti-immigration, white displacement people could say this is a Jewish priority, this is a Jewish agenda, and if the people on the left demonstrating Israel could say the American blind support for Israel is a Jewish agenda, well, then all of a sudden you can find some common ground. And, you know, it's not like I want to go round up the Jews and stick them in cages with bears and eagles. I don't want to do that. All I want to do is critique them the same way I, as a white male, have been critiqued my entire life. Okay, I want to be able to criticize them. I want to be able to talk about their power, just like they've talked about power that I allegedly have, but I don't really have. But they can talk about this make-believe power that white men have, but we're not able to talk about the actual demonstrable power that they obviously have. And so that's what I want to get at. All righty, let's see. Do we have time for one more headline? No, I don't have time for one more headline. I'm just looking at the headlines. They're all fake and gay. Actually, I'm going to go to one more of these places. I'm going to look at the... Oh, no, I don't want to do... Yeah, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to look at the gay faggot pundit. I'm sorry, it is. And what are they talking about? Gavin Newsom clashes with Target employee who blames him for California's surging theft crime. Okay, who cares? VP Apprentice, who will be Donald Trump's running mate? Actually, I'm going to look at that for a second. And who are they pushing? I mean, they push big time. They always push big time Carrie Lake, who Anglin calls a fag hag. Oh, well, I don't know. Do they have a list here? No, who cares anyway? And I will be back again. Oh, okay, I guess Kristi Noem. Are they pushing Kristi Noem? I think she was very attractive. She's maybe on at least on low definition TV. Tucker's in there. I haven't seen anybody I'm that excited about. Vivek Ramaswamy, oh, they got him in there. At least he's smart. But you got these people who are the main problem is the anti-China-ness, I stand with the chinks, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.